www.thebaptistchurch.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, that was a little weak. Come on, good morning, everyone. Hey, let's say thanks to the worship team, especially with lots of guests this morning playing with us. That was great. And there will be more, so hang tight. So if you're new or visiting, or if you've been here but are getting old like me and need a reminder, we're doing this series called This Is Us. And This Is Us is talking about things that are supposed to mark us or identify us as followers of Jesus, both personally, but also especially as a community of people. So we've talked about four things so far. The first of all, we've talked about that our focus is Jesus, right? If we are followers of Jesus, our focus is Jesus, that he is the one who our lives should be focused on. He's the focus of our story, and his desires to be the focus of everyone's story, and he's also the focus of the entire unfolding story of God throughout history. So our focus is Jesus. Second of all, that the gospel is central, that the message that is about Jesus, how he gave his life, died on a cross for our sins to make us right with God, and gives us an opportunity to put our faith and trust in him so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. That gospel message is central. It's something we each need to respond to, but also something that once we've come to faith in Christ, we need to share with the people around us. So our focus is Jesus. The gospel is central. And then the third thing is that we are a family. We are a family. So we, as a family, we need each other, right? We all need support and love and encouragement from one another, but also we need to pursue each other because we tend to run and hide when things get difficult or when we're running into spiritual dry spells. So we need to pursue each other to help keep, like Bob just talked about with this song we just sang, Reckless Love, right? We leave the 99 to pursue the one, so we chase after people. We're a family. And then the fourth thing that we talked about last week is we is greater than me. That there's something unique that happens when we are all pulling in the same direction, that it's not just 1 + 1 = 2, but somehow it equals more. And we pulling in the same direction, moving in the direction that God has called us to, can see some great things happening, especially when we take the right perspective. Now, if you've missed any of these weeks as a part of this community, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them, to the podcast on iTunes or through our website online, because, again, we want to be moving in the same direction as a community. So go back and check those out so we're all on the same page. Well, we've got a key idea for today, and today's key idea revolves around the theme of worship. When it comes to Portico Church and the things that make us us, we do believe that worshiping God is a pretty big priority. We spend a good chunk of our morning when we gather together in worship through music. Okay, we're singing songs in worship. We spend about half of our gathering doing so. This morning we sang songs in a style that is a little different than what we usually do. Maybe you love that style. Give it up if you did. Maybe you didn't. Don't give it up if you didn't. All right? It's okay if it was not your favorite style, because worship isn't supposed to be about the style. It's supposed to be about the Savior. That's the point. Come on, there should be like an amen for that, right? Come on. Right? Because it's, you know, yeah. Worship is not about a music style, but it is about a lifestyle. All right? And that's our focus for this morning, the theme for this morning. Worship is a lifestyle. In other words, we worship God with our lives. Now, our whole life is supposed to be about making a big deal out of God, making much of God. Worship is about honoring Jesus and showing our love and affection for him. It's about exalting Jesus, magnifying Jesus, and honoring him. These are different descriptions or different definitions used to describe the word worship, and that's what they're all about. In other words, God's this big deal. Jesus is a big deal, and we want to make sure that he knows it and that others know it. That's the idea of worship. But it's not just about singing songs or gathering in church. It is about doing so with our life. If this is going to be a key thing for us, if we want to see worship as a lifestyle being one of the things that makes us us, then I think we need to make sure we've got a right perspective about worship. And so this morning, even though we do spend a lot of time in this idea, we want to consider a couple of different things about worship that can help kind of keep things framed up properly in our lives, okay? So just a couple of things. And the first thing is this. And by the way, we're going to bounce around to a number of different passages. I would just encourage you this morning to follow along on the screens. They'll be up there because they're fairly short and we're jumping around, so it'll be easier for you. But if you want to take some notes of these things, there are note sheets at the back. Feel free to not be to bother the people around you, crawl over them, go back and get one. You can jot them down, okay? So they're always available. You can always take notes, and we encourage you to do that because you never know when you want to go back and look at things. So anyway, a little plug. Three things that I want to mention this morning about worship as a lifestyle. And the first is this, is that worship starts in the heart. Worship starts in the heart. Like, you can't genuinely worship God apart from a relationship with Him. That's where it's got to start. Your heart needs to be lined up with His. So quoting the prophet Isaiah, Jesus said this about some hypocritical people in His day. Matthew 15 says this, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." In vain do they worship me. When Jesus says, "These people are worshiping me in vain," He's saying that all of their different acts of worship, whether it's a religious ritual or a sacrifice that they had to give or an offering or their songs or their prayers, all of it, when you add it all up, it amounts to zero worship. No worship at all. Why? Because their hearts aren't right. They don't know Him, and worship starts in the heart. It's possible that we can do all these different acts of worship that are really not worship at all. And that's what we see when Jesus said this in Matthew 7. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" There was a woman, an older lady, who asked me about this passage, and she had lived a much longer life than I have so far. She's not here today, so don't look around. Okay, it's not that. As she was getting older, she legitimately had concerns about coming face to face with Jesus and kind of being rejected, like this passage talks about. That she wouldn't be saved. That was her fear. Now, she had been faithful to Christ since she was very young, and had a genuine love for Jesus. She had a heart for God. And reading this passage kind of scared her. But I kind of reassured her, look, then you are kind of missing the point here, because the point of the passage is that it isn't based on the things that you do. It's based on that relationship that you have with Him. Right? Jesus says there's a lot of people who are going to do a lot of so-called good deeds, and they're going to do them in my name. Like, thinking, this is going to please me. This is going to be good. But we don't earn our way to heaven. We can't earn our way to heaven. It's about this relationship with Jesus. That's what He wants from us. The good deeds are supposed to be the result of that relationship, a result of our hearts being in a right place with Him. So to those who think they belong in heaven because they did some good deeds that Jesus would be proud of them, and yet it says, Jesus says right here, "I'll say to you, I never knew you. I never knew you," because they had no real relationship with Him. So worship starts in the heart. The same is true, by the way, and so carrying that over, the same is true about worship. Worship is either going to, for us to be the result of a genuine, real heart connection with God, an authentic experience of the heart, or it's nothing. It amounts to zero worship. It's in vain. Right? So worship starts in the heart. That's the first thing. We've got to have that right perspective. In our lifestyle, worship is a lifestyle. Worship starts with the heart. Second thing is this. Worship is done in spirit and in truth. Worship is done in spirit and in truth. Now, this comes from a familiar passage of Scripture for many of us, maybe for you as well. But there's a time where Jesus meets a woman at the well, and he reveals to her that he knew about her, like, five previous husbands, and that she was living with someone who was no longer, or who was not her husband. And so that kind of pierced her heart a little bit, and she did what we all would do. She deflected, right? She changed the subject. And we're going to pick up this passage in the middle of that. John 4, starting in verse 19, says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.' And the woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ,'" in other words, the promised one. "When he comes, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So Jesus, when he's talking to her, he just graciously moves on with her deflected question, and he does answer it. But he says, look, worship, it isn't about a location. It's not about Jerusalem or on this mountain or here or there. It's not about location. It's not where we worship or when we worship. It's about who we worship and why. We have to worship Jesus both in spirit and in truth. I don't know how many of you have seen this or read about this or know about this, but recently, Kanye West has released an album called Jesus is King. How many of you have heard that? Heard about it? Any of you listened to the album? Okay, I have. I didn't want to talk about it without hearing what it was all about, right? But it's interesting because he's released this album that is very gospel-focused. He's holding these concerts that he's calling like Sunday services, where he's doing many traditional hymns and gospel remixes, and there's gospel choirs and the whole works. And it's kind of caught people's attention. And for some people, they're receiving it well. Some people, they're not. There's a lot of different opinions out there about it. Some good, some bad. One prominent Christian artist said this: "It's not my favorite Kanye West album in terms of musicality, but it's my favorite Kanye West album in terms of content." Right? It's, if you listen to the album, and again, I have, it's just as much a Christian album as any one of your favorite Christian artists that you listen to, that you hear on Q90 or K-Love or whatever. He even does a song about Chick-fil-A called Closed on Sunday. So you gotta know that this album is definitely legitimately Christian territory. But here's the real thing. He's definitely presenting truth. Right? We're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. He's definitely presenting truth when you listen to the lyrics of the album. So if you like Christian music and you like some sort of hip-hop gospel melding, you'll probably like it. You'll probably like it. But he's obviously receiving some backlash for it, both from those inside the church and those outside the church. People criticize him of being this massive hypocrite. Like, listen to all your other music and see what that's about, and then you did this. They accuse him of merchifying the gospel. That's like the term that was used. He's just merchifying the gospel. And they doubt whether he's really a legitimate follower of Jesus as he's doing this. Is he doing this just to make money? That same Christian artist who talked about his content in the album said, it's understandable that there's backlash because Kanye is a public figure who has done and said plenty of disturbing things, right? So it's understandable. And ultimately, I think, there's a point to all this, by the way. Ultimately, I think people are questioning, is it a really authentic expression of genuine faith? Right? That's the question they're asking. That is a question of worshiping in spirit. There's no doubt that the lyrics are about truth. Whether it's an authentic, genuine faith, that's a question of worshiping in spirit. And I can't answer that about Kanye West. Time will probably tell. If he's really following Jesus, we'll continue to see the fruit of that moving forward. I certainly hope that's the case. I hope that the gospel has really taken root in his life and that Jesus has become the focus of his story. We should all be hoping and praying for that, not just for Kanye West, but for everyone around us. Right? We don't need to judge on that basis. We should be praying for that, for everyone. But the point is this. If it's true worship is done in spirit and in truth. Okay? So that's the second aspect that we need to keep in mind when it comes to worship. And the third is this. That we worship what we value most. We worship what we value most. Here's a passage that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So Paul says he counts everything in this life as loss or rubbish or garbage, or some would point out that the kind of thing he's talking about is like dung. I count it all as crap in comparison to knowing Jesus and being known by him. Jesus is clearly what Paul is valuing most. The question is, do we? Do we value Jesus more than anything else in our life? Do we value Jesus more than our wife or our husband? And we could just pause there and have some reflection on that, but let's think about some other things. Do we value Jesus more than our kids or our parents? Do we value Jesus more than our friends and our relatives? Do we value Jesus more than our earthly treasures? Our home, our cars, our cottage, our toys? Do we value Jesus more than things like drugs or alcohol or food or sex? Do we value Jesus more than sports or music or entertainment? Do we value him enough to turn away from sinful choices and lay our lives down as a living sacrifice for him? Because that's what he calls us to. We need to value Christ more than anything because we worship what we value most. And, you know, here's kind of the bottom line of this is when these three things are in place, when there's something real going on in our heart, in regards to worship, there's a relationship there. When we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, when we value Jesus more than anything else in life, then worship will become our lifestyle. Right? That's going to be what flows out of it. Outwardly, worship is really any act that magnifies God, that makes him big, that makes him known. It's anything we do that reveals or expresses how great and how glorious he is, because worship is about reflecting the worth and the value of God. And so we've got to ask ourselves that question, what do we value most? Philippians 1, 20 through 21, Paul writing again says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored. And that word, honored, exalted, magnified, like worshiped. That Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul's desire is to live so courageously that while he is still in his physical body, Christ would always be honored and exalted and magnified. That Christ would be worshipped. That he would be able to show everyone how big, how great, how glorious Jesus is. Whether it's by his life, whether it's by his death, he wants it all to be worshipped. Because Jesus is what he values most. It's what he treasures. It's what he prizes. And that's what God wants from everyone. So how about us, right? How about us? Is that true when it comes to us individually? That we value Christ most? Is it true of us as a community of followers of Jesus? Is this us? Is this us? Quote from teacher and pastor John Piper, "Nothing magnifies God more than a group of people who are genuinely convinced that nothing," and I'm breaking away in the quote here to some things that he said, "not money, not prestige, not leisure, or family, or job, or health, or sports, or toys, or hobbies, or friends. Right? Nothing is going to bring satisfaction to their aching hearts besides God. Nothing magnifies more than a group of people who are convinced that nothing will bring satisfaction to their aching hearts besides God. This conviction creates a community of people who go hard after him." That's what we need to be, right? We need to be a community of people who are going hard after God. We need to do that here on Sunday morning when we gather for worship, when we sing these songs, when we pray, when we dig into God's word. Let's not get confused about the fact that that's why we're here in the first place. Right? We don't want to sing songs and say prayers and listen to messages as a duty, as an obligation, as a performance. We want to see it as a gathering where we have the opportunity to get with God. And he has the opportunity to get at us. We should see it as an opportunity, like Paul, to gain Jesus, to know him more fully, and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So let's go hard after God when we worship on Sunday mornings, but not just then, every moment of our lives in between. Because worship is supposed to be a lifestyle. Let's make sure we're clear on that, and let's make sure that we can say that this is us. This is who we are. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to close with a few more songs. And encourage you to use these next few moments as one of those opportunities to go hard after God. To worship him in spirit, in truth. Because this is who he is. And we want this to come out of our relationship that we have with him. Let's pray and we'll close in worship. Heavenly Father, we are not always in that place where our hearts are in a right spot. We're not always in a place where our hearts are focused on you, where we're wanting to do nothing more than to make you known. That's true of us here on Sunday morning at times. It's true certainly at times throughout our life, throughout our week. But we want our life to be worship. We want every moment of our life to be worship. We want that to be true of each one of us and as us as a community. So this morning we want to surrender our hearts, lay it before you, and get them in the right place. We want to worship you in spirit because when we have put our faith and trust in you, you have filled us with your spirit, that allows us to worship. And we want to worship you in truth, knowing this is truly who you are, the God of the universe, the one and only Savior, the only way. And we worship what we value most. And God, we admit that we're not always focused on you. We're not always feeling like we want you the most, but we want to turn our hearts in that direction this morning. And as we worship, we pray you'd allow us to have that spirit. And that these songs would just be a little microcosm, a little glimpse of what we want our lives to be. So in these next few moments, God, we pour out our heart, we praise you, we worship you, and we want to give you as much glory as we can. We want to honor you, we want to magnify you, we want to exalt you, we want to lift you up and make a big deal out of you because you are worth it. So we stand, we sing, we raise our hands, we praise you for who you are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.